right. Let's start with our Sunday school lesson, shall we? Before we begin, let's ask our Lord for his blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another Lord's Day where we come together, fellow believers, listening to your word. We thank you for this opportunity now to look at the virtues you are producing in us through your Spirit. We thank you that you work in us and that we can grow in faith, that we have everything that we need for life and godliness. Father, may you give us now attentive hearts to stay focused. May you give me strength to teach Sunday school and everything that we learn, that we grow and glorify you with our lives. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we looked at the fruit of the Spirit the last 3 weeks, love, joy, and peace. And we are now at the fourth virtue, which is patience. Patience.
Sorry, and I don't have time for this class.
What's that? So, as I was preparing the Sunday school and I looked for resources on patience, I realized there's not much out there, really, and I had a hard time. Is that funny? And then I looked into the scripture and I realized that really it's all over the place. Apostle Paul, in every epistle almost, mentions patience. We see in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12, he says, as God's chosen ones, we should put on meekness and gentleness and kindness, but also patience. Then in Romans chapter 12, verses 12, Paul says and urges us to be patient in affliction. And in Ephesians, he says, bearing one another with patience. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when he talks about love, what does he say about love?
Patient.
Love is patient, exactly. Peter talks about our Lord and says he's patient with us, and we shouldn't neglect that or think he has forgotten us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 4, it's really all over the New Testament and also in the Old Testament, God is described as a patient God. And I was wondering, how often do we think about patience? We had love, joy, and peace. That's like those three big virtues. Yes, Elizabeth?
Did you think about how others can think with that? But we don't think about how we
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. We'll get to that, but that's a good observation, yeah. So, but the question is, how often do we pray for patience?
Never. Did it once. Never again.
Well, your kids are all grown up, so we don't really. But yeah, it's true. We really rarely think about patience. But if we think about love, and as Paul says, love is patient. Let's think about our children, how much we love them, and yet how often we are so impatient with them. So in order to be loving, with one another or bearing one another, we need to be patient.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have joy in your life and you're constantly miserable, there's no way you will be patient or peace. If you have no peace in your life, you can't be patient. And so, we need to think more about patience and really pray for patience. And we will talk about it. Why is it so important? What does it represent in a little bit? Just let's read another passage about patience in James chapter 5. Verses 7 to 12. That's a rather longer exposition on patience. James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So James here talks about patience, and he gives us different examples why and who was patience. But let's ask first, what is patience really?
Waiting on
others. Yeah, waiting on others? Yeah.
It seems the foundation of it is trusting in the Lord.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay, waiting with contentment, yeah. Because just waiting, you know, if I order a nice gift from Amazon and I wait, there's no patience necessary. I actually look forward to it, and waiting is part of the process. But waiting and trusting the Lord when, as Paul says, when we are in affliction, when we suffer, it is theologians often refer to patience as one of the hallmarks of Christian virtues, because it's so difficult while you're suffering to be patient. And what else? If we wait while we suffer, what else? Let me rephrase that.
You hope,
yeah.
I mean, you hope for a resolution of your prayer or strength.
But, yeah, what else? Like, if we think about God and God's patience toward us, or if we think about the Old Testament and how patience is being translated in, for example, Exodus 34, I don't have it here, but I think it says slow to anger. I think that's part of patience. We don't get angry. We don't complain or fuss about the situation. Right? This is part of patience. A theologian named Burton said, "Patience is steadfastness in obedience to God, despite pressure to deny Him." Right? Another theologian said, "Patience is a composure and readiness to wait, which does not allow the good things of God to slip our grasp." So we still wait, and we still trust in the Lord, and we still believe that God is good towards us, even though we go through a difficult time. Patience is, for example, also translated as long suffering. Lotus, yeah.
You know, the other day it dawned on me that as I was struggling with my kids and being really impatient, I kind of realized that, for me at least, it's a form of pride. Mm. And it just never made that connection before. And I thought, wow, like, I'm being prideful. Because, you know, I'm not in control. Things should be done this way. And it's a form of being above them. And I'm like, looking at them, like, why aren't going to have this thing down? I would have had it done, you know. And so it was good for me to realize that's part of it, too. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody with children experienced something like that. When I try to be patient with the kids, but sometimes it's just too much. And then when she wants something, and I say no, and she says, I want it now. And I say, no, you wait. And she says, no, I want it now. And I say, I don't care, you know. those are the low moments, you know, in parenting. But I want you to follow my orders, you know, my rules. And that's prideful, yeah.
As someone who has been a child in myself, I must never listen to my parents. Mm-hmm. And with what you said is that it's all for the head to be patient than the parents being patient. Mm.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, let's get to that. Like, impatience, why or with whom are we so often? What are the categories? Why are we so impatient?
Just like what you said, that we want it now.
Yeah.
That's how our parents can tell us that they don't care.
Yeah.
And that really...
Yeah. So, yeah, we are so often impatient with our parents, but and you, as you said, we want it so often. We want it now. Mm-hmm. So, one thing that is we are so often impatient with is if something doesn't go according to our plan, right? And we are impatient with God, really. Somebody called it practical atheism, because once we get into a situation that is not going to according to our plan, we forget God, or we reject God, and we say we would do it differently. We have a better timetable, and we know it better. We don't trust that God is in control. We don't trust that God is sovereign and knows what he's doing. And we all live in a world that is full of pressure and injustice. And we are so often afflicted with harm. And things don't go according to our plan. And that's where we doubt God and are impatient with him. And we leave God out of our thinking. Or we think we know it better. And we have examples of that in the Old Testament especially, right? Whom can you think of?
Abraham,
yeah. He didn't want to wait and took things in his own hand and got messy. Well,
the children of Israel, they couldn't wait for Moses to come down.
Oh yeah, the children of Israel, all the time, impatient with God. Who else?
I want to ask a question when you finish this.
Okay.
I was just thinking of David when he could have killed Saul. Supposedly everything was going his way.
Yeah.
To the camp took the spear.
Yeah.
He could have killed Saul right then and there, but he chose to be patient.
Yeah, he was actually patient. Yeah, he waited for the Lord and for his time. But Saul, for example, he was impatient too, and it had cost him so much. Question, Pastor Eric.
Yeah, how would you distinguish the practical atheism, which I think we all know in our own version struggle with righteous indignation on the other side, that's not necessarily a lack of patience or trust, but the genuine struggle that even the psalmist, people in Scripture sometimes feel as the righteous experience persecution and different things that in one fashion or another cause us to cry out, how long? Is that impatience or is that a righteous disposition?
Yeah, I think, as you said, in Psalm and even with Job, who James calls steadfast, They addressed some concerns, or they questioned things, but the difference is they addressed it to God, and they went to God, and they never forsake God I wouldn't call that impatience with God. It's an honest address to God, and sometimes we don't know what's going on, and it's a natural thing to ask God and to cling to God. So I think that's a righteous indignation.
It seems to me that waiting on our Lord is time on doing when we want to be present with our time.
Yeah, I think that's right. So we are often impatient with God, and we are often impatient under trials. But we're also impatient with another weaknesses, right? As we said before, with our children, so often with our spouse, we lack patience with them, and we, as Paul so honestly says, bear one another. You know, it's not always pleasant. We are all sinners, and he says, with patience, bear with one another. So we need patience for that too. And so James, he actually says, don't grumble against one another, which we so often tend to do. So, James gives us an example, and he says in verse 7, wait like the farmer does, right? See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Why does he give us the farmer as an example? Why? Yeah.
The farmer has such an investment that he has to put into the field his time. In those days, that was his only way, means of sustaining his family. So the farmer has such an investment on his crops, and yet he's so dependent on God to bless him with rain, with sunshine, with a crop, good pricing for his crop. And so he really has put his trust upon God to bless him with his crops and the fruit of his labor, really. So I think that's a great example of patience.
Yeah.
You need to exercise.
Yeah, I think that's right. But as he waits, what do you think? What does he think? You know, a farmer who waits, is that a waste of time for him?
Yeah, he's just trusting God that he will bless him. And,
yeah. But think about a fruit. A fruit needs time to grow, right?
That's right.
So a farmer who harvests, how do you say that? Like plant or
seeds.
So. And he, you know what I mean. And he expects the fruit to sprout right away. You know, that would be ridiculous. He knows that waiting is part of the process. And waiting is not meaningless. And I think this is what James is getting at. Waiting and patience has a purpose. And the farmer knows that. He needs to wait for rain. And part of it is, of course, he needs to trust God that he sends rain in its due time. But as he waits for the rain, he's not freaking out, he's not being angry or losing it and despairing, but he knows that there's a reason and there's a purpose in waiting. And that's what we often forget, that as we are patient with one another and with our circumstances, God is working in us and with us. I can't draw to save my life. I'm so bad. Even a straw man looks ridiculous. But if I, and that's the reason why when I observe somebody who can draw a picture, and the way he starts doesn't make any sense to me. You know, that brush here and there, I don't know how he's going to fit that all together. And that's how often we, with our limited view or knowledge, we have no idea what's going on. And this is never going to make any sense. But as a painter is finishing up his painting, you realize it's beautiful. And every brush had its place. And I think this is what we often forget, that God, as he's working with us or in us, has a purpose. And patience is part of it, waiting for him. Is not meaningless. And I heard Sinclair Ferguson once, he said it in his beautiful accent, but he said that if we only knew, you know, if we look back he said if Jesus will come again and everything will make sense to us and we see why he worked in us in certain ways and why we had to suffer certain trials and why our children are sometimes so difficult. And then we look and see what came out of it. And it's so beautiful. And we will say, if I only knew that, I wish I would be more patient. No. It's often our limited understanding that makes us so impatient, and we see that with our children. They are so ignorant. They don't know all the circumstances. And my little one, if she doesn't get two Legos together, she loses it, and it's so funny and sad at the same time. But we do that so often. Something doesn't work out, and we get so angry, and it's just not worth it. Yeah.
While I eat here,
that's a good question. How do we teach patience? How do we learn patience? I think that's a most important question here. How do we cultivate patience? And why should we be patient? I mean, we mentioned it just now. But another reason. Why should we be patient?
I mean, just on a practical, you know, God is patient with us. He's so patient with us. Our tendency is to forget how patient God is with us,
right,
and then turn around like the parable of the servant. Which parable was that? Where he was forgiven much, and he turns around and starts choking his brother that owes him a mere fraction of that.
Yeah, I have it down here. Yeah, it's Matthew 18. Yeah, when Peter asks Jesus, he wants to put a limit on mercy and patience. Like, he's saying, how often should we forgive? You know, is there a point where we draw a line? And, you know, and Jesus gives him the example and says, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow servant, even as I had mercy on you? There's this mirroring of what we received and still receive. God had been patient with us as judge, and then he justified us. But he's still patient with us as father, right? Every day he endures and is enduring all the sins and rebellion and stubborn hearts of ours without resentment. And Jesus Christ with his disciples, he was patient every day. I mean, they were like little children, ignorant and didn't understand much. And yet he never burst out in anger. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us and enduring our rebellious hearts, patient every day. And Jesus says, if you receive that, how can you not be patient with others? And that's one reason we want to resemble our Father, our Savior. But the Spirit is working on us so that we become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that's one reason why we're still here and why the Spirit dwells in us. And that's a good thing. If we see our children imitating us in a way, that makes us happy. You know, when I sometimes get up, I grunt and I hear my dad, because that's exactly what he did. I do it 10 years earlier than he did, but. It's as children of God, we want to be like our Father and have these attributes that we can have: love and joy and patience and kindness and goodness, and that's the reason why we want to be patient.
Why are you labeling
I will say it again, please.
Why are you labeling something that they are ignorant?
Oh, children?
Yeah,
children are ignorant, I would say, by nature. They don't. They need to learn, they need to experience things, and as they grow up, they become more or less ignorant, and they gain more experience and understand things better.
Yeah, but would it be loving to not to label them as anything, and teach them what to gifted, like if we want them to be a patient, to take the patient.
Yeah. Yeah. We want them to be patient for sure, yeah. And how do we cultivate that other than looking to our Father and reminding ourselves that he is patient with us every day. We deserve far worse, and he held back what we deserve. What else?
I think often it's a matter of we're not trusting in the Lord with all our heart. We don't see him really as being sovereign. We mm-hmm. think that we do until the guy pulls in front of us in the, you know, or and having every opportunity, an opportunity to say, you know, what is the Lord doing right now? Because he is sovereign.
Right.
So, you know, I talking about righteous, sometimes we think that when we are waiting, that it means we don't do anything. The farmer doesn't just plant the seed and just, you know, fold his arms.
Mm-hmm.
We have work to do. There are there are unrighteous things going on, and we can have indignation, but we have to follow the word of God on how we move forward with that. And when we're not, when we just want our way and we want things, someone to be happy as opposed for there to be justice and for God to be doing his will on earth to bring glory to his name, then we might just give up, or we might... You know, even a child who's disobeying, the reality is that's an opportunity to teach them
right.
more about God and who he is. And I think for Elizabeth, the term ignorant is correct, but we tend to say, instead of use the word ignorant, that they lack knowledge. They don't have understanding.
Yeah.
So that's one of our jobs, is to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't come down and sprinkle fairy dust on us and we're patient. Even asking for patience, we have to practice. We have to do these things. So mm-hmm. I think I always remind myself, God is sovereign in this situation. I'm so impatient right now. I want to get well. I've been sick for 2.5 weeks, Lord. And the Lord is doing something. You
yeah.
need to not be somewhere, or you need to be doing this, or you need to be on your knee. There's a purpose in that. So, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, over and over again in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word of God, just that scripture is coming back to you, so that when those things do come to you, immediately the word comes to your mind and you think, okay, how do I move forward now? What would God have me to do right now to
right.
be part of his sovereign, you know, work that he's doing? Now, we're not always going to get it right. And of course, sometimes we just have moved ahead, and so we have to ask for forgiveness because we're not patient. But I think that it's important to think of patience as being not just waiting, but being proactive
right.
to do something.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. I forgot to mention that, but it's exactly right. Yeah, patience is not merely passive. That's part of it. We can be patient and still... Why? Because we are patient, we can still function and work. You know, we don't throw the towel. And you mentioned it. If we are patient with others, there's an opportunity there to be a good testimony for the world or for our children. And how often do we fail when we lose our patience with them? How do we fail representing Christ to them, right? That's exactly right. We need to think in those situations and remind ourselves of what you said, that we have an opportunity there. We want to proclaim Christ.
I just wanted to kind of point something out too, like that patience is like a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that we can lose and give without like asking for it and getting it, because it's something that we just, like the other gifts, give freely but also receive, because if we don't have that patience from God, we can't give it to anybody.
Right.
So like it requires total dependence on receiving the patience, and also just lack of control of whether you're receiving it, and also lack of control of giving the patience to somebody else.
Right.
Like an annihilation of selfishness. You want it, you don't have it, you don't want to give it.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It is it is a fruit of the Spirit, right? It is something that we can't ourselves regenerate. Yeah, I saw a hand. Yeah.
My mother was very patient with me when I was a typical teenager. And one day she had enough. So she came over and said to me, "Okay, Timmy, you don't have to listen to me if you don't want to." Yes, I calmed her down. "But you must listen to God." And she walked away. And I've been to Sunday school enough, knew what that meant. You know, because I see her and my dad, "Well, yeah, you guys are good folks, but you're still a sinner, like me, right? But you must listen to God."
Yeah.
So before she passed away, I asked her, "Do you remember saying that to me?" She said she didn't. You know, but that stuck with me.
Yep.
You must listen to God.
Yeah. So. Yeah, thanks for sharing.
The Spirit also teaches our self-pity to entertain itself more and to learn to embrace doing everything by the self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good thought. Actually, if we think about James and the beginning of his chapter, I mentioned earlier that patience is also steadfastness, right? And James, what is he saying in chapter 1 about steadfastness? How do we gain steadfastness? Does anybody know? Dr. Troxel knows.
Testing of your faith.
Sorry. Isaac?
Well, yeah, as Troy's saying, counting all joy when you face various trials.
Right, yeah. And he says, be joyful about it, right? And we should be joyful about trials in our lives. And that is exactly what we heard, that we see the situation for what it is, an opportunity to grow. He says, trials produce steadfastness. So how do we learn patience? By trial, under pressure, when we suffer, when we deal with our children day by day, that's how we, through experience really, learn patience. And that's a good thing. We should think about those situations, if somebody pulls right before us, or all the lights are red on the way to church, or you need a long breath until your whole family gets ready to leave the house. And even today, I thought, you know, patient. I think I'm patient. And then I had a very long night, little sleep. We came a little late. And I sat in between Nora and Maya, and I almost lost it. I'm not nearly patient enough. But we grow, and we have the grace, we have the Spirit that works in us, and we need to embrace that. Yeah, Pastor Eric.
You see patience as having no limits?
Ideally. I don't know if we get there, but what would you say?
I don't know. I think it does have limits. I'm just thinking about, for God himself, you know, on one hand, patience is part of his character, right? But, I mean, even like the First Peter text, his patience is bound to the idea that one day judgment will come. So there's patience now, but there is also, if you will, a ceiling at a point in time in which patience translates into action. So I think it's helpful to think of it as having limits, not only in God himself, but even in our relationships, in the sense that even with your playful illustrations with your kids, you might be patient with the behavior for a while, and then there's a point at which, you know, righteousness kind of draws a line and says, this far and no more. And I think in some relationships, we probably struggle to, you know when it's time to draw the line between, okay, it's a Christian virtue to be patient, and yet there are lines, there are boundaries in relationships, there's righteous, action as well as indignation, and that's not necessarily the absence of patience.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Can I just throw a word out there, and what do you think? Slow to anger? Like, so there is anger, but it's, God obviously has righteous indignation, but it has slowness toward it, right? It's not,
right.
It's not wrath, it's not a...
Right, a father that disciplines is not necessarily an impatient father, right? But a father who disciplines can also be impatient. So God is perfectly patient. We've got to, struggle with like power again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth... Well, yeah, Troy.
So I guess I wouldn't wonder if that's an implication, so it seems like it's just an addition of prudence. Like, there comes a point where, okay, the actions are going to change now, how the actions are going to come in, but it's not an end so much of, as mentioned, God's patience is endless, but he does change his... The decision, the wisdom, the prudence, the decision for something different now is going to happen. I wonder if it's, I'm just kind of questioning the end of patience.
Yeah, there may be another way to put it. I just think it's helpful to recognize that patience does have limits, even within God. Maybe there's a better way to put it, but there are certain relational contexts that I think require something other than just sort of patiently enduring as though without ever having any limits or relational boundaries. And, I hope that's a nuance that's helpful in my mind. In some situations, it's really helpful. Otherwise, we find ourselves, struggling with the sense that we're not being patient, or like becoming a doormat in a relationship, and just different things that can sometimes happen. Where anyway, I think I've said it.
Yeah. Isn't that scriptural?
Yeah, Heather.
That's a lot. I guess for me, if I were to describe patience, it would be resting in the fact that I can't fix it, but trusting God to do so.
Yep. I think that's helpful. All right, I think we have to wrap it up. Okay.
Thanks for your patience. I was just thinking the whole time that they are saying this, that there are like two places in the Bible where from the outside it might look like Jesus lost his patience. You know, saying, how long am I to be with you? And then when he goes into the temple, upturns all the tables and everything.
Yeah.
And that wasn't him losing his patience, he didn't go around and yell at everyone on the street all the time. Those times where they were defiled at the temple and they were just not listening to him, and he needed to lay down the truth and tell them what they needed to hear. And he wasn't losing patience with them. He did it graciously.
Yeah. Yeah, that's helpful. I think if we think about patience, it's... I think we don't have to worry too much to have too much patience with others. And I think patience is really the atmosphere where we, can be loving and peace, joyful or gentle and kindness. It connects really the virtues that we are going to look at further and already looked at. So maybe the last sentence I have here is, impatience grows where God is being left out, and patience grows where there's a continual awareness of God. We see every situation with the eyes that God is in control, and we are joyful about the trials we face. All right, let's pray. We can talk later. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your patience with us every day, every moment in our lives. We are so stubborn at times, rebellious, and don't understand all the things that are going on in our lives, or understand very little of it. But we know that you are sovereign and that we can trust in you, and we are so thankful for that, and we ask that you may work in us, that we are joyful about all the trials or challenges we face in our lives, because in those we can grow and we can become more like our Savior. And this is a joy to our life, to us. And so we pray in Jesus' name, may you bless us in this, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.